Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, I want to begin today's teaching by reading from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Starting from verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." Now, it described many different things that have different times. If you go from verse 5, it says, "There is a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away." Now, I have picked these different ones to explain a principle here, that life has different seasons. There was a teaching that we had on this broadcast last year in which we talked about cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures. And we explained then that there are different seasons in life. But the one I want to bring out today is something that has to do, again, talking about different seasons in life, but it has specifically to do with the issue we've been talking about for many weeks now, which is that of creating the opportunities for prosperity. Now, remember, I've established many points, and I began to round off this thing about 2 episodes ago. We have established the fact that prosperity is first created in the heart. Don't let's ever forget that. If Satan cannot persuade us about his plan, we will never fall for his power. We'll never become subject to his power. If God can persuade us concerning what he can do and will do in our lives, then most certainly we will find the power of God manifested to bring forth results. So we said prosperity is first in the heart. Now, I now said that there are a number of things that we use to outwardly work out the creation of that prosperity. We said that everybody has a gift, and that we can sharpen our gifts until they become a skill, and that is what God will use to bring us before kings. He said, "Do you see a man who is diligent and skillful in his work?" He said, "He will stand before kings, he will not stand before obscure men." So we say you have a gift, and then if you use that gift diligently, last time I focused on the matter of diligence, that what you are doing, you must be diligent in it. Now, before I say something again about that diligence matter, remember that I said that he said, "Restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert." Now, when God was going to answer that prayer, he said, "He that sows in tears shall reap with joy. He that goes forth weeping shall doubtless again return with rejoicing," all right, "bringing his sheaves with him." That he went forth weeping, bearing his bag of seed. That is, when there are difficult times, God still demands that if we want answer to the prayer of prosperity, we must output something, we must sow something into that land for him to be able to bless us. Now, those are the things we've been explaining lately. Now, I sat on the issue of diligence last time that, yes, prosperity is first in the heart, but that when God wants to bring something out, we must show our cooperation with him by the diligence with which we do things. That whatever gift God has planted in our lives or inside our hearts that we are going to use to bless people, we must exercise them. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. Exercise them accordingly. I put a word of caution last time, and I need to just explain it again. The problem with people is that they think that, you know, because I have this skill, I have gotten this degree, then automatically money should start flowing towards me. Prosperity should suddenly be my portion. But I said it doesn't work like that. You still have to exercise the gift that you have. You still have to fine-tune that education that you have. And the process of exercising or fine-tuning something is something that you must do with patience. You must not do it thinking that quickly I must get from this. But you will do it for the sake of doing it. For you to perfect the thing just for the sake of perfecting it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I remember the example I gave that Tiger Woods, somebody said he doesn't play golf because of money. He plays golf so that he can be perfect in playing golf. So every time you see him, he's practicing. He's not practicing just because he wants to get money. Do you follow my point? I mean, you remember maybe great football stars, basketball stars, sportsmen generally. It's not about money when they are thinking. That's why you see a man, he has made so much money from sports. Until he gets an Olympic gold, he's not satisfied. Do you follow the point I'm making? The other day, I was watching the story of Haile Gebrselassie, the Ethiopian, who's the world champion in long distance running. Now, when I was watching him, the man was going to
to challenge the then standing world record in the 42 kilometers marathon. Now, by that time, he was very rich. In fact, they showed his house in Ethiopia. He had won national awards, one of the richest men in his country. The man was an established man. But inside him, no, I have not yet beaten that world record. So he kept on practicing. You know, they would massage his legs, he would jog, he would run, he would do. They had pacers, what they call pacers, people who would run around him just to keep him on his toes. Why? He just has to win that marathon and win it in a time that is shorter than the one that anybody before him had ever done it. Money was secondary in his mind. And I want us to understand that thing about diligence again. That diligence is just about doing it well. Are you getting my point? Sometimes as a preacher, maybe I listen to a message that I preached and I ask myself, did you make any point in that message? Do you get my point? Now, get my point. Nobody's paying me money for it. I just listen and say, did anybody get anything from this thing? If I find I make some mistakes, I want to sharpen it next time. That no, you don't do it like this. This is a better way to preach. Now, the point is that diligence, I am applying it so as to make that thing that I am doing better. Now, listen, if you have a gift, I quoted my friend Larry last time, that Larry said that your gift is your gift, it's not yet your skill until you have sharpened it so that you become extremely good in it. Remember what I said? That is what God will use to bring you into prominence in life. That Picasso said, my mother said, if I become a priest, maybe I'll be a pope. If I become a soldier, one day I might be a general. He said, but I chose to become an artist and I became Picasso. Now, Picasso is his name, we know, but he was saying that he had recognized that he had become outstanding in life, and it's because the position of his strength, he sat on it with diligence, he sharpened the things inside there, and then he came to a time that when you talk about new innovations in painting, you mention his name. When you talk about different styles of painting, you mention his name. He became one of the greatest painters that ever lived. Do you get my point? That's what he meant when he said, I chose to be an artist and I became Picasso. Now, please, I want us to understand that thing. We must apply diligence so as to make, like Paul said, our calling and election sure. We must apply it. It's not, listen, Satan has sold things to us that has made life very, very, very ineffective. That is what I mean. He sold things to us that made us short of God's glory. That is, God has prepared that you will be the best in one area. But Satan says, listen, oh boy, as long as you can get money from me, start getting money. But listen, that is not the goal. The goal is that you must be the best. It's going for, like Paul would say, I am going after that for which I was apprehended of by Christ Jesus. That is, it, concerning my gifts, what God is going after is that this gift must be so good that anybody who comes in contact with it will become automatically blessed. Are you getting my point? And listen, when you are using a good gift like that, then you start creating opportunities for prosperity, not only for yourself, but for the other people that are around you. Please, I hope you've gotten the point there. Now, that's supposed to be like a kind of review. You know, remember we read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, talking about the fact that there are different seasons in life. As I was thinking about running off this series, something just came to my mind that I have not yet explained to people, which is why I read this Ecclesiastes here. That there are different seasons in life. Now, you will notice something. Please follow what I want to say carefully. Now, let me use the story of Jesus Christ to explain that thing properly. If you go back to the book of Luke again. Now, in the book of Luke chapter 16. Now, Jesus told a story about a steward that was serving a rich man. And that rich man had squandered his possessions. Therefore, he called the man that they were going to audit the accounts. And the man, realizing what he had done, knew that the time has come that he will be sacked from this job. So, to make a way for himself to survive afterwards, he now began to show favor to the people that were owing his master. He went to one man, he said, how much money are you owing my master? That man was talking about measures of oil. The man said, 100 measures. He said, okay, take your bill, let's rewrite it, write 50. Now, he went around doing that so as to get favor for himself. Now, what I want to bring from there is a comment that Jesus passed afterwards. From verse 10, he said, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. In verse 11, he says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, that is money, he said, who will entrust the true riches to you? Then this is my emphasis, verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another person's, who will give you that which is your own? Now, please, that's where my emphasis is. That, look at this steward here. The problem was that he was unfaithful when he was serving somebody else. Please follow this point very carefully. And when he was going to be sacked, his worry was in verse 3. He said, what shall I do since my master is taking the stewardship away from me? He said, I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. Now, please, I want to bring out some deep divine truth from this. A man who is unfaithful in that which belongs to another person, when it's going to be taken away from him, he has only two choices. He said, number one, he has to go and start digging or laboring hard in difficult things, or he has to start begging. That the problem, the reason why he has only these two choices is because of his unfaithfulness. That if he goes out to go and start his own business now, he will discover that it's going to be very hard. That what he would need is to get into hard labor to be able to eat. That if he's not going to do that, the only option that he will have is the option of what? Begging. But remember what I said, the reason why it is like that with him is because he was unfaithful while he was using that which belonged to another. Now, what's my lesson? I said something that I read Ecclesiastes chapter 3 to bring out an issue to us. That life has seasons. And for most of us, this is how it will be. There will be a season in life in which we will be using that which belongs to another person. That is, we will be serving in somebody else's house. Please, I want you to understand this. Because as a matter of fact, this is the way it is with everybody. Listen, you might work in a company, an oil company, a telecom company, a big bank, whatever it is, and they are paying you so well. The fact still is, you are working with that which belongs to another person. That is, the car is not your own, the office is not your own, the customers are not yours. Please get my point. The goods and services being rendered are not yours. Even the skill you are using at that time is no longer your own. You have rented it out for a salary. No, please follow what I'm trying to say. It's no longer yours. The time, if you signed to work between 8 o'clock and 4 p.m. as most civil servants did, then between 8 and 4, the time is not yours. You get my point. So everything you are using to generate productivity in life is not your own. Do you get the point? It belongs to somebody else who maybe his own season of working with that which belongs to another person has passed. Please let me explain this principle. When Jacob went to the house of Laban, and this one thing we must understand, that God sent him there to train him. Jacob worked for Laban. First, he served 7 years for his first wife, 7 years for his second wife, and 6 years to get material possession. Please, one thing, we are going to see that in a moment. These seasons are important. You will notice something. When Jacob was going to start serving so as to get material possessions, he made a statement. Please, I want us to read it. When Jacob was going to try to leave Laban, the reason why he wanted to leave Laban, he said to Laban in verse 25 of Genesis chapter 30, he said, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Now, the reason he said is this, because Laban now explained to him, no, don't go. I want you to stay with me because I have divined in verse 27, Laban said to Jacob that God has blessed me on your account. That is because of you, God has blessed me. Please, I want you to note this because I'm going to comment on it in a while. He said, I have gone to diviners and they have checked and said, the reason why I have prospered so much is because you were working for me. He said, therefore, I don't want you to leave. He said, okay, name your wages. Because for the first 14 years, this guy was just working to have two wives. Are you getting me? Now, this was what Jacob said, verse 29. But he said to him, you yourself know how I have served you and how your cattle have fared with me. Now, remember, what is he using here? He's using that which belongs to another person. His labor was going into the house of Laban. He said, for you had little before I came, and it has increased to a multitude, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I, Jacob, turned. Behold now, when shall I provide for my own household also? Now, please notice something here, that the household he had, they were eating in the house of Laban. So he was not providing for his family as per daily food that he was talking about. What he was saying is that, when will I go out and create an inheritance for my children? When will I go out and acquire land for my children? When will I build the companies that the Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children? When will I go out and do that? That for now I have been working. Now let me tell you something. The world can prosper you so much you forget divine principles. Are you getting my point? What am I trying to explain? It's a divine principle that when you are departing from this earth, you will leave an inheritance for your children's children. And I'm not talking about your pension or your gratuity. Are you getting my point? Gratuity is what they pay you when you have labored in the house of another person. Most of us in life are afraid of creating an inheritance for our own offspring. Now, please, follow me. The other man that we read about, the man was a typical civil servant that you find in Nigeria today. Corruption was the order of the day with him. Every day he was using that which belonged to another person and he was feeding fat on it. He was not mindful about creating an inheritance for his children. Are you getting my point? So one day they sacked him suddenly, and because of his unfaithfulness, he had to either go back to look for difficult work or he'd go and start begging. I said there are different stages in life. Stage one is that in which God sent Jacob and everybody into the house of another person to go and be trained, into the company created by another person to go and labor so as to bless somebody else. And listen to me, it is a necessary stage in life. I am not preaching that people should rush out of that stage. In fact, I'm talking about creating the opportunities for prosperity. A lot of people, out of covetousness, listen, they sit down somewhere, they are working, they realize that their boss, this business is making the man a lot of money. And please, be careful how you judge to so as to judge with righteous judgment. The order of God is that if you are working for a boss and he pays you, say, 50,000 naira, for that 50,000 naira, if he's a reasonable man, at least he's getting another 50,000 for himself. Are you getting my point? And even though he's a righteous man, he might even be getting 10 times that for himself. And it is wrong of you to go and sit down and say, after all, the man is getting so much money. Listen, God says anything you are doing, do it as if you are doing it unto the Lord. It doesn't concern you. What matters is that you are being paid the wages you agreed for. Now, but I want to emphasize something. It's a season in life. Listen, if you want to prosper in life, I said there is another season in which you must go out to create an inheritance for your own children. Are you getting my point? You must never be satisfied totally in life to just earn fat and eat fat. Listen, a blessed man leaves an inheritance. Sometimes this inheritance is to go and create another company like the one you were in. Sometimes God sent you here just to go and train you. Do you get my point? But listen to me in what I want to say. You must never change into the next season until your departure will be noticed by your boss. What I mean by noticed by your boss is this, that the man will notice that we have prospered because of you. If you have not caused somebody else to prosper, you cannot make yourself prosper. That's what I am trying to explain. Talking about creating the opportunities for prosperity. If you have not blessed somebody else's life in such a manner that the people noticed that the blessing came from you, you can never go out to go and bless yourself successfully. That's one thing you find with people a lot these days. The man is just greedy. He realized what this man is doing, me too, I can also do it. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm not saying you have worked in a company and maybe they are into supplies or they are into transportation. Now you think that it's very easy. After, look at how they are making money. And all you are getting is just a little. So the man will say that, after all, I can also do it. Now listen to me. That you can do it is in your mind. Do you follow the point I'm making? That you think you are as good as the other people is in your mind. The real proof that you can also do it is that one day, everybody will say, because of you, we have expanded in this business. That shows you the capabilities that you have in producing prosperity. It's actually a safe zone to start out using that which belongs to somebody else, because he gives you a cover. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? For example, in the house of Laban, Jacob, everybody knew that this was not Jacob's property. The fear they had for Laban, they had to give that same fear to the property under Jacob's care. Are you getting my point? Now, Jacob could try out all his skill because somebody else's cover is upon him. Do you follow the point I'm making? But then, the fact that he was a blessed man had to be felt by Laban before it would be appropriate for Jacob to get up and say, let me go and create something for myself. Are you getting my point? You know, we've talked about using our skill, we've talked about using our money, we've talked about diligence. What I am explaining today is the matter of being faithful in that which belongs to another person. Now, a lot of people don't understand this principle. They think that, of course, you know, it's very common with civil servants. And please, don't forget something I said earlier. And that's the fact that anything you are doing it as unto the Lord. You are not doing it for your boss. You are not doing it for government. What God is saying is that if you are not faithful, and those are the words of Jesus, in that which belongs to another person, nobody will give you your own. God will not give you your own. How you behaved in the place you were first employed is what God is using to test whether he will indeed give you your own. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. That is, it is not about connection. It's a spiritual thing. That a man is laboring, he's working somewhere, the diligence with which he uses that which belongs to another person and the amount of prosperity is able to create in his little way into somebody else's life, are you getting me? Is what God uses to decide whether I will give you your own or I won't give you your own. Please, get the point I'm making. Because a lot of civil servants go to work and the attitude is that this is not my father's business. People go to companies and they want to, you're being paid a salary. You still want to see how you can defraud the company. You follow me? So as to get more than is your due wage out of them. And those things, of course, they often backfire. I remember a story somebody told once. Now, this really happened in Lagos. Now, listen to me. The person worked in an oil company. And those days, there was a kind of fraud that people used to participate in. Those companies would give free medical care to their staff. So this man needed money. He walked up to the clinic where the company agreed for them to go, where they had retainership, okay? They could go there and take free medical care. Now, he went and negotiated with the doctor there that they should write that his son was ill and his son had a surgery. And, of course, they billed the company, an oil company billed them heavily. And then he and the doctor will split the money half-half. He will sign that, indeed, his family used the facility of the company. Of course, unfortunately for him, he had bosses that cared. His supervisors at work, they cared. Are you getting my point? And when they saw the bill that Mr. AY's son had surgery, they gathered themselves together and went to his house to go and say, oh, sorry, how did they go? Only for them to get there, the junior that had the surgery was there tapping soccer, you know, playing football in their compound. And they looked and said, oh, but when did you come back from hospital? The boy said, which hospital? Ah, you were sick, you had an operation. The boy looked at them like, are you people all right? Because, of course, his father did not tell him that he had used his name to defraud his company. Cut a long story short. They fired the man, you know, reported the doctor, withdrew their retainership from the hospital. They literally dismissed the man from his work. Now, that's the backfiring of when people don't understand how they are supposed to use that which belongs to another person. Now, that was very common in Lagos those days. I worked in the clinic then. People would walk in and come and drop a list on the table. What is it? Bonvita, Milo, you know, milk. Their children are going to school, that we should provide it. And the idea is that when we finish providing it, my hospital was now supposed to write that people were sick and they will claim the money back from their establishment. Now, so you see, people used to do such things. But my emphasis is that they don't understand that it's not the company they are defrauding. They are defrauding their own future. Listen to me. Let me say it again. When you defraud your boss, he's not the one you are defrauding. You are defrauding yourself. You are kidding your future. Because how you use that which belongs to another person, how you create prosperity when somebody is paying you 1 naira, how you are able to produce 2 naira in the business is what God uses. Listen, when the ruler went out to go and take kingdoms unto himself, and he gave his servants money. He said, occupy with this until I come. Do business with this until I come. He gave all of them the same amount of money. My Bible, New American Standard, uses the word mina. One mina was given to each person. One man multiplied his own mina 10 times. The other one multiplied his own twice. Another one multiplied his own, not at all. Are you getting my point? But my emphasis is on those who multiplied their money. What they didn't understand, because you see, when the master gave them the mina, they returned everything to him when he came back. Here is your mina, master. He has made 10 more. He presented it to the master because they were slaves of the man. They were using that which belonged to another person. But what they didn't understand was that the man was checking for how he will make them lords themselves. Because after he checked, he said, you were able to multiply these 10 times. I will put you in charge. You will be lord. You will be master over 10 cities with servants under you ruling over multitudes. You'll be able to say to this one, go, and he will go. In effect, I am going to give you that which belongs to you. Are you getting my point? The one who was able to multiply it twice, what happened? They put him in charge of 2 cities. That is, the degree of elevation each person experienced was dictated by the amount of effort, the amount of productivity they were ready to put into the house of another person. Remember what I said at the beginning? That I understand that life is in stages. And that in stage one, when you are laboring in the house of somebody else, God is using it to decide how he'll put you in charge of your own house. Do you get my point? Now, I remember I was listening to one man, you know, he's a famous man now, and all right? I remember when he was going to resign from the company where that he's very successful in the business he's doing, in Nigeria, of course. Now, when he was going to leave that company and go and found his own, when he was leaving, his boss tried everything. Do you understand my point? To try and retain him. The reason being that he said, because of you, we have excelled in this thing that we are doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then somebody else wanted to hire him. And he was asking for a much higher income than he used to earn before. And the person phoned his former boss and said, this boy, how is he? And the man said, whatever he asks for, give it to him. He's worth every dime. Please, get the point I'm making. These people had produced wealth in the house of somebody else. They had used that which did not belong to them but belonged to somebody else. They had created prosperity. They had been faithful. And that was why God was able to bless him. He had been faithful in somebody else's house. I don't think he took that job. He decided to go and now start his own company. Get my point. In a few weeks, he had broken into millions of naira in turnover. In a short while, the man was talking about hundreds of millions of naira. Miles Monroe, the man from the Bahamas, the same story. What happened to Miles Monroe? He was working for Oral Roberts. When he wanted to leave and go back to the Bahamas, Oral Roberts called him and said, is it money? Are you getting my point? The man said, no, it's not money. Robert said, it must be money. He doubled his pay. The man said, I'm going home. He increased it, increased his benefits. The man said, I'm going home. Why was Ora Robert ready to do that for Miles Morrow? It was because he was saying, in effect, we have prospered because of you. While you were here, we prospered. Without you, we would not have been able to do this, this, and that. Are you getting the principle there? That is the amount of effort, the amount of productivity that he put in the house of somebody else was what God used to decide how rich and how successful he will be as a person himself. And please don't forget that thing I said. Until you begin to hear testimonies about the impact you have made while you were laboring in somebody else's house, you are not yet ready to go and fend for your own. And please don't forget that point. Because by the time Jacob was leaving the house of Laban, it was because he realized that I have worked all these years for Laban, that the time has come for me to go and provide for my own family. And I explained earlier that providing for my family, was saying there, was to leave an inheritance for my children. He wasn't just talking about food, but was to create wealth on the earth that I can say is my own. Are you getting my point? That my children will point out and say, this belonged to my father, and he left it as an inheritance for me. But I said also, before you can do that, before you will succeed in doing that, because listen to me, you can get up and go and say, yes, I want to start my own thing. And you go and start. I'm not saying you will not succeed, but you will suffer plenty at the beginning. The people who don't suffer much at the beginning, they suffered in the house of somebody else. You see, there's something about life. I said earlier, you must learn to interpret life. Don't let Satan deceive you. Say, somebody's just using you. I said before, if nobody ever uses you, you are a useless person. But you see, don't ever focus on somebody else. You know, you hear sometimes, maybe you are rendering service for somebody, and they say that, how much is he paying you? He said, 5,000 naira. He said, what? 5,000 naira for this work? Do you know he's making 100,000 from it? Now, usually when such things involve me, I said, it doesn't concern me. That what concerns me is that 5,000 naira is just recompense for the work I am putting into it. What the man is making out of it does not concern me. So people will now come next day and say, this job I did for this man. You know he got 100,000, he paid me only 5,000. Listen, you billed him 5,000 and he paid you. Then the next day the man now comes back and says, okay, I want this job done again. So okay, this time around, it is 45,000 I'm charging. I say, why are you charging 45,000? You not told him that you heard that he earned 100,000 from it. Let me tell you, his ungodliness is none of your business. Usually people like that, they lose the business eventually. Because the reason, if 5,000 naira is fair, he will just go out and look for somebody else who is earning 5,000. Let me explain the principle here. That is, it is his own time to earn 100,000. It is not your time. Do you get the point I'm making? You see, the problem in life is that sometimes we are so jealous of other people, we shoot ourselves in the foot. Do you follow my point? You don't realize that it's not that man you are working for. You are actually working for yourself. Are you getting me? Right now, your labor, remember, when Jacob labored, and I will explain that as I close. When Jacob labored in the house of Laban, and he got nothing, you know, essentially, God counted his labor because he was faithful. When he and Laban now came to an agreement on what he should get as payment from Laban for the last 6 years of his service, he was going to now work for the next 6 years. Jacob prospered so much that the sons of Laban started complaining that he has taken everything that belonged to our father. The Bible says, behold, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. The Bible says that from God comes your reward of the inheritance. That what you are going to get out of life is what God will give to you. Are you getting my point? And God is checking that as you are sowing a seed somewhere else that may not even be your own.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.